In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. We need to be concerned, or at least a lot of people think we need to be concerned about artificial intelligence, machine learning, and how it has become invasive in our lives. And I think, like many things, it is a tool. It can be used for good, it can be used for evil. And it is a gift that God has given us, and it is meant to be used for good and for the greater honor and glory of God. But it seems frightening to us that a machine will have control over our lives. And I think we have taken it too far. The computer, the machine, isn't taking control of our lives. This artificial intelligence is not intelligence at all. This machine learning is dealing with nothing but percentages, odds, if you will. And I can tell you, if you give me an alcoholic, the chances are pretty good. I don't know statistically how good the odds are, but probably around 90-95%. You give me an alcoholic, the chances are he's going to take another drink. And if I know that, I can advertise to this alcoholic and promote things that will stimulate him to take another drink. And I can sell my alcohol to an alcoholic because he's already in that predisposition. Now, that's not 100% guaranteed. But for my purposes of selling alcohol, it doesn't need to be 100% guaranteed. I just need to have enough people that I can get 90% of the people to buy my alcohol. I've succeeded. And my artificial intelligence that is analyzing the statistics, the odds, the chances, however you want to look at it, I will consider that a success. But I think what most people forget is that there's going to be the alcoholic who's going to say, I will never take another drop, and hold to it, and he will never take another drop. No matter how much advertisement you give, he will be that outlier. And we forget that we have a free will. It is true, we are creatures of habit. If we do something repeatedly enough times, you can pretty much predict that the next time these circumstances happen, we will act in the same way. We are, as the philosophers say, we are rational animals. And I think too often we forget the rational part and we focus on the animalistic part, and we can be trained like you can train a dog. You say come and the dog will come because you started with come and you had a treat for the dog. You patted him on the head. He knows when he comes there's some kind of special reward for him. And he associates coming as getting a reward. And you can pretty much guarantee every time your dog hears you say, come, he will come. But not always. He has to hear you. The situation has to be right. He has to want that treat or that reward. But for the most part, it works. We can train animals because they are predictable. Human beings are animals. We are predictable. The alarm goes off, and without any thought, without any hesitation, we reach over and turn it off. And if we've been trained well, we get up. We shower and get ready for our day. We get dressed and we go off to our routine, day in and day out. The behaviorists, who can basically consider our animal nature, have worked really hard making experiments to show that we are trainable. And I say trainable as opposed to teachable, because teaching has to involve exciting our free will, to have us make a deliberate choice. I want to do this. I'm not doing this because it's my habit, but because I've made a deliberate choice to do this. And I would suggest to people who are worried about the artificial intelligence and all the tracking and all that they can do is to Stop being so predictable. You want to throw a wrench in the system? It's really easy. Christ has given us the key. Deny yourself. When you see the advertisement that is enticing, deny yourself. And you've already thrown a wrench into the system. You become one of the outliers. You're not one of those that fall into the realm of prediction. Deny yourself that pleasure. Deny yourself that attraction. Whatever it is being put before you, deny it. And now you're not predictable anymore, at least not in that. Take up your cross daily. Come, follow me. We don't need to fear the machine. We don't need to fear the tool. As a matter of fact, I would suggest to you, if you're afraid of a tool, then you should not use it, because you're going to get hurt. If you don't understand the tool and how the tool is working and how it's meant to work and what job it's supposed to perform, then you shouldn't be using it. But if you can use the tool as a tool to help you to a certain end, to reach a goal, then that is why God has given it to you. And so when you need to make predictions or see the odds or the chances of something, this artificial intelligence is wonderful. It's gathered all kinds of information. Anyone who's been on the internet, it's gathered the information. But I can tell you that if you have several people use the same sign-in, you will really confuse them. Because the data collection is looking at what ads that you watch all the way through, how soon you click away from the ads, how soon you click onto it, what YouTube videos you're watching, what you're talking about in your exchanges. It watches your frequency, that you do this or you do that. And once a week, your cell phone will tell you, oh, you've used your cell phone 23 minutes longer this week than you did last week. All statistics. Means nothing. Unless that information is useful for some other purpose. But it is simply a tool. And we should not fear the tool. We should be aware of the tool. We should respect the tool, and we should realize that it's being used. But we're not being manipulated. No one has control over us except for God. And God has given us a free will, and he hasn't even exercised that control over us. He invites us. You want to be my disciple? Deny yourself. Take up your cross daily. Come, follow me. Deny your animal inclinations and appeal to that rational level. And each time you deny yourself and follow Christ, you are becoming more intellectual, if I will, more rational and less animalistic. You are becoming more spiritual and less material. You are becoming less predictable to the world, because what the world expects is the animalistic, the behavioral response. Yes, we can all end up like Pavlov's dog, and when they ring the bell, we can salivate. And we can allow ourselves to be manipulated and fall into that, so that it becomes self-conscious, when we don't have to think about it, it automatically just happens. We don't have to be conscious of what we're doing. It just happens automatically because we've allowed ourselves to be trained and developed, but we can break from that. And that's what we do in the confessional, in the examination of conscience, in our act of contrition. It is an attempt to break these bad habits, the things that we have fallen into. We ask of God the grace But it's not just the grace of God. It has to be an act of the will. I firmly resolve, with the help of your grace, of course, but I firmly resolve, I make this act of the will, I make the choice that I'm going to do this rather than that, or I'm not going to do this, and I'm going to do this instead. And this expression of our free will is the key to our happiness. It's the key to rising above the materialistic and being controlled by other people. I know we have the terms that, you know, someone pushes your buttons, someone has a trigger word, and you've triggered me. You've given this power to someone else? You've given this power to something else? You're a fool. You have a free will. Let them pull the trigger all they want. You don't have to react to it. The explosions are within inside yourself. The dynamite, the gunpowder is within you. Let them pull the trigger. You are the one who has the power to set off the explosion. They can pull the trigger, say whatever they want, jump up and down, do whatever they want, but they can't set off the explosion unless you let them. You have a free will. You have autonomy. And I think that's something that we have forgotten or we don't reflect upon often enough. I have the power to choose. You can say whatever hurtful words you want to me, but they don't have to affect me. I don't have to let them affect me. I don't have to get angry. I don't have to feel hurt or wounded. I can feel whatever I want. I can think whatever I want. I can do whatever I want. Because God has given me a free will. I know I've expressed that before in sermons. I can tell you, as a young man, as a boy, yes, those who are bigger than me, stronger than me, can physically make me sit here, move my body here, move my body there, but they can't make me want it. They can't make me enjoy it. They can't make me love it. We have a free will. And you can make a prisoner of someone, but you can't take their free will. You can only imprison their bodies. St. Thomas More wrote a beautiful treatise when he was locked in the dungeon in the tower. This whole world is a prison. Wherever I live, even if I weren't in this dungeon surrounded by these walls, I would be in the city surrounded by those walls of the city. I would be a prisoner of the city. I'd be a prisoner of, I don't know, the continent, if you will, because I can only go to the water, but I can get in the water and I can go across to another continent. But then eventually I'm a prisoner of this world. There are always limits. And what difference does it make that the limits are so far that I can't see them or the wall is right in front of me? You can physically imprison me. You can physically restrict me. But you can't touch my free will. You can't touch my soul. And though my body may be confined here on earth, my soul can soar clear to heaven. My intellect is free. And this, I think, is what we really need to focus upon. If we have any fear from the electronic or the material age that we live in, the machine learning, the machine tools that are inundating our lives, perhaps taking control of our lives, we've become dependent upon these tools. Yeah, we have. But did we not before that become dependent upon the printed newspaper, There used to be a time when you had to read the newspaper before you could start your day. And then we became dependent upon a radio, television, the telephone. Oh, we have to have a telephone. We need an automobile. So much so that now, as the child is approaching his 16th year in this country, we're saying, oh, do you have your driver's license yet? What kind of car do you want to get? Go get a job so you can get a car that you want. And it becomes part of our lives. It becomes a necessity. And we've allowed these things to enter our lives. We've allowed the electronics. We've allowed the artificial intelligence, the machine learning into our lives. We've become dependent upon them. They're useful tools. It would be very difficult to go back, but we could go back. We have become dependent upon them, but that's in itself is not an evil. It's a tool that God has given us. We just need to use it for the greater honor and glory of God. If it makes us serve God better, then it is good. If it's become an obstacle to us serving God, then it's a bad thing. We don't really know how to use it. And we should avoid using it. But ultimately, what happens to us is our own choice. If the electronic age takes control of our lives and leads us into sin and materialism, that was a choice that we made. We've not just allowed it to happen to us. It wasn't somebody out there who did this to us. Or as they used to say, the devil made me do it. I say, that's nonsense. Oh yes, there are cases of possession. But I think they're probably rarer than we think. It seems to me more people choose freely to follow the devil. The devil holds out their little bauble and they chase it and they say, oh, I want that, I want that. And like a good Pavlovian dog, we begin to salivate. We begin to desire whatever the devil dangles in front of us. And he offers us the pleasures of this world, the pleasures of this body. Tells us, oh, this will make you happy. And we are so foolish that we believe the devil. Even though he's proven time and time again that yes, this brings pleasure, but it brings great sadness and sorrow and suffering with it. And it's not really happiness, it's just physical pleasure, which soon passes. It's not that everlasting happiness that our soul is eagering for. It wasn't the devil who took us down this path, it was we who allowed the devil to take us. And we've allowed the devil to have this control over us because we've refused to follow Christ. And I say, you want to overcome all these temptations. You want to overcome all these obstacles in the world. I boil it down to the simple words of Christ. Deny yourself. Take up your cross daily and come follow me. You come to a fork in the road and you look at this way and that way. Choose the most difficult path rather than the easiest one. Choose the harder road rather than the simpler one. You don't have to broadcast it to the world. You just need to simply embrace this and say, for the love of God, I'm going to take this more difficult path. In reparation for my sins, I'm going to take this. I'm going to deny myself here so that I can follow Christ. You see something coming up in your life that you really don't want to do? Do it for the love of God. I can remember as a seminarian, Bishop Lewis, he would plan a trip in months in advance and it'd get closer and closer to the time of the trip, and he'd say, you know, I really don't want to go. I say, we already bought a ticket. You want me to cancel it? No. He says, because I don't want to go, that's what I have to do. That's what needs to be done. And then after you embrace that cross, deny yourself, and do what needs to be done, what is before you, you find that, yes, that was God's plan. This is what God wanted me to do, and the fruits are there. But we don't really see it until after the fact. In the very moment, in the face of the decision, it's a simple matter. Deny yourself. And I mentioned the addict or the alcoholic. You see that substance that's tempting you, and your enemy is putting that substance before you. That's the decisive moment. I would really like to take that. I would really like to have that. No, for the love of God, I'm not going to do it. And I think each of us has it, enough grace, enough within us to deny ourselves at least for a little while. And it reminds me of a story, I think it was in a sermon for children, of the alcoholic. I don't know, we can pick on alcoholics and children, but not adults. Other addictions, I guess, are taboo, but it applies across the board. The alcoholic comes to confession and says, I've wasted all my money and I don't have enough money to support my family, to pay the rent and all of this because I drink too much and I need to stop, but I need God to stop me. What do I do? He says, well, we need to examine your life and see how all this occurs. He says, well, on Friday afternoon, when I get my paycheck, I go right to the bar and I have a beer. He said, just one beer? Oh, no. I have, half a dozen beers. And then I've got to buy some for my friends. And before I know it, my check is gone. I have nothing for groceries. Say, okay. Well, maybe instead of drinking six beers, you could just drink five. So, well, once I've had the fifth one, I can't stop myself from having the sixth one. I said, well, okay, then maybe you shouldn't have the fourth drink. Well, if I don't have the fourth drink, then you won't have the fifth one and you won't have the sixth one. I said, but you don't understand, Father. Once I've had the third one, I can't help myself. I need to have the fourth one. And eventually you see where this is going. I said, well, don't have that first drink, but if I go to the bar, I can't just sit there where all my buddies having a drink and not have a drink with them. Don't go to the bar. But I can't help myself. It's out of my control. I have to go to the bar because all my buddies are going. Maybe you need to find some different buddies. Maybe you need to get a different job. Maybe you should have a direct deposit rather than having a paycheck. Of course, I know that wouldn't work because now you've got your debit card, which you can take with you anywhere, anytime. But maybe you could leave your debit card at home. There's always something we can do. We just need to walk it back to the point when it is now, it is in my control. I could get up on Friday morning, take the debit card out of my wallet, deliberately leave it at home, and go to work and come right back home. That I can do. There it is. There's your answer. And now you will have money to pay the rent. Now you will have money to buy groceries. Now you've taken the steps necessary to overcome your fallen nature, your weakness. With the help of God's grace, you can do this. I'm not going to say it'll be easy, but the little steps are easy. It's not that hard. to take your debit card out and leave it at home, deliberately leave it behind. That you can do. You might have to say a little prayer as you're doing it. But if that's what you need to do, that's what you need to do. I'm going to do this for the love of God. I'm going to deny myself for the love of God, this little thing. But this little thing that I'm denying myself actually becomes the denial of many great things along the way, many bigger things along the way. And so now my buddies no longer have control of my life. The bar no longer has control of my life. The alcohol no longer has control of my life. I have taken it back with a simple act of my free will, a simple act of using the intelligence God has given me. Trace it back to where it is in my control and choose a different course. Don't do the same thing. Don't continue in the same habit. Start a new habit. Deny yourself. Take up your cross. In this little way, it will transform your life. In this little way, you gain control over yourself. In this little way, you are truly set free. And everyone looks at Christ's invitation. Deny yourself, take up your cross, and come follow me. Be my disciple. Oh, that's imprisoning. That's too hard. That's too difficult. I can't do anything. And they see it as stifling. And what I'm telling you, it is freedom. When you have control over yourself and you're no longer controlled by your debit card, you're no longer controlled by your buddies. You're no longer controlled by the bar. You're no longer controlled by the alcohol. Now you're in control. What you do with that is yours because you are free. God has given you a free choice. And even if you are physically in prison, you can still love God. You still have control over how you react to your position. You don't have to despair. You don't have to be gloomy. You don't have to be angry. You don't have to be violent. You can accept all of this in the spirit of denying yourself, following Christ. And so it's no one out there is making us do these things. They may pull the triggers, they may push the buttons all they want, but they can't set off the explosion unless we let them. And it is not really they who set off the explosion, it is we who set off the explosion. We are free. And I think we need to see this in our daily lives in the world around us, but especially in this electronic age when everything is being tracked and traced and the data is being collected and these huge databases are being filled with all our information. Yeah, the machines are tracking you. They're seeing what you're doing. They see your habits. They see your routines. But they really don't have control. They can only suggest. You might say 95% of the people who watch this end up buying that. I listened to a review. This man was saying that everybody thinks that Google is listening, your cell phone is listening. As soon as you say something, then that ad pops up for exactly what you've been talking about. They were listening in. And this man says, no, that's nonsense. He says, you know how Google knows? Because Google has made you have that thought. Without you being aware of it, Google has been planting it in your mind. He suggested this ad, this what he sees what you've been watching, and he knows the next logical thing in this sequence is going to be, you're going to be curious about that. And that's exactly what pops up next. How did it know? Because you're predictable. Not 100% predictable, because Google does get it wrong. I don't need advertisement for female products because I'm a man, but Google doesn't know that I'm a man because I have females who log into my account and do things for me. Sister Catherine takes care of my social media. Google's figured that out, that she's female. But when I log on, it's really confused. The database is messed up. And it's kind of enjoyable, pretty funny. So I think this ad was meant for you, sister. And I'm sure she gets ads for me. But we don't have to follow those advertisements. We don't have to follow those links. Something pops up and it's curious, it's enticing. You have a free will. You don't have to click. You don't have to follow. You don't have to watch. You don't have to listen. And before the internet and before all this artificial intelligence, this machine learning, we had televisions. Oh, and the televisions are terrible and the commercials are terrible. And I can recall preaching to people, the television has an on and off button. If you can't figure out the on and off button, just pull the cord out of the wall. You are in control. You just need to step it back to the point where you are in control. You say, but it's everywhere. The temptations are all over. I can't help but see it. And I recall Bishop Lewis saying, yes, you can't help but see so many things, but you don't have to look. And there's a difference between seeing and looking. You have control over what you think about, what you dwell upon. You may not have control over where you go because there are others who are forcing you to go here and go there and do this and do that. You can't help but see what's before you. But you can control what you think about, what you dwell upon, what you look at. And as these things come up, you have a choice. Swipe right or swipe left. I don't know which one means, but that's a term I hear often. You can always turn it off. You can always walk away. You don't have to expose yourself to whatever temptation it is that you are succumbing to. The power is ours. And Christ has told us over 2,024 years ago, it's very simple. Deny yourself. You feel the inclination to go this way, go the other way. Give somebody else that choice. Put the burden on them. I'm thinking of Abraham and Lot when they're standing before the countryside and they're looking, they're shepherds and fighting among themselves over which flock gets to graze where. And Abraham says to his nephew Lot, look, all this land lays before us. You choose to go one way and take your men, your flock, your servants, and go that way, and I'll go whatever way you, the opposite way, and let there be peace among us. Abraham is ready to take the less optimal portion. Let Lot choose first. Let Lot choose the best. It doesn't matter. He wants peace. There's some greater goal he wants. He's ready to deny himself. And Lot looks at the great cities of Sodom and Gomorrah and the glory of all that and the great land and pastures. I'll go that way. That looks good. And over the other way, it's all barren and everything. And Abraham says, okay, I'll go that way. Let there be peace. I'm willing to take the lesser portion. But then if you recall, there's something that Lot didn't figure into the situation. Those grand cities were soon to be struck down by God with fire and brimstone. Let us not follow our natural inclination, but seek what is the will of God. Seek to be free of these. These things don't need to grab a hold of us and pull us and captivate us. We can be free of all of them just by self-denial. Day after day, time after time, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Christ. No, I'm not going to click here. I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to watch this. I'm not going to do that. Whatever it may be, I'm going to do this for the love of God, and soon you'll find you have a lot more time. You are really free. I can recall talking to a man who gave up smoking. He said he never realized how much time he wasted in smoking cigarettes. He's got so much time now that he stopped smoking, he doesn't know what to do with himself. These brief 15 minutes or 5 minutes, whatever it is that he used to take and go have a cigarette, what am I going to do now? So now you have an opportunity to pray. Now you have an opportunity to think or do something else. You're free. The options are boundless. And that's what the love of God will do for us. The love of God will set us free. Benedictio de omnipotentis, Patris, Filii, et Spiritus Sancti. Amen.